The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We're all still recovering from Trump's State of the Union. The only moment from last night that anyone's going to remember is when Trump made this threat.
An economic miracle is taking place in the United States, and the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations. If there is going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation.
Second. I think that's kind of cute. He threatened our democracy with a little poem.
Yeah.
There once was a Donald from Queens who came from a family of means. Look into my stuff, he cried in a huff, because you'll find out I betrayed our country to the Russians. Does that not rhyme?
Yeah.
It once was a partisan witch hunt. That wasn't Trump's only foray into the lyrical arts last night. He really went whole hog on alliteration.
Cooperation, compromise, and the common good. Yeah. Smart, strategic, see-through, steel barrier, revenge, resistance, and retribution. Greatness or gridlock. Results or resistance, vision or vengeance.
That is painful pandering pablum from Putin's pet president.
Yes, it is. And bad writing. Just bad Stephen Miller writing. God.
Trump also took a swipe at folks who want to raise taxes on rich people, but Trump's got one problem. Turns out that's really, really popular.
Yeah, it is.
As they recently discovered on Fox News.
We pulled up this latest Fox News poll on the issue, whether Americans support raising taxes on the wealthy, on incomes over $10 million. Those that are in favor of that, 70%, Charles,
yeah,
over $1 million in income, 65% are in favor of raising taxes.
The idea of fairness has been promoted in our schools for a long time. And we're starting to see kids who grew up in this notion that fairness above all. And now they're becoming voting age, and they're bringing this ideology with them.
Oh, God forbid.
Our children are being brainwashed with the radical ideology of fair.
Right.
What's next? And balanced. It's wrong, I say.
It is wrong. And here we go, second day in a row with Stephen Colbert to bring us the funny, because he's on a roll. But he's got good material to work with. All right. Hello. Welcome to a Thursday. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at 3 o'clock in the afternoon here on the East Coast at NicoleSandler.com. We're also broadcast on the Progressive Voices Network Tuesday through Friday evenings at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. And, of course, the podcast is always available. Always without a paywall, though we do live off of your donations and contributions. So if you can afford it, we appreciate your support. And it's tough times. We'll get into that maybe later if we have time. Not only for me, but again, I digress. I want to start with a story that, because of all the important stuff that's going on, not to say that this isn't important, but because of the big stories we'll get into in a few minutes when we hit What's News, this is one of those stories that may just pretty much be ignored because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't meet, you know, the subpoena that will or will not be issued for acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker. We'll get into that. But here's the story. And it involves Cindy McCain. Yes, the widow of John McCain. Cindy McCain yesterday was apparently at Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix yesterday when she spotted a woman with a child of a, quote, different ethnicity. Okay, so Cindy McCain spots a child of a different color, with a woman. I'm getting all discombobulated here. Here's the quote from Cindy McCain. I'm reading from the Daily Beast. I went over to the police and told them what I saw, a woman with a child of a different ethnicity. And they went over and questioned her. And by God, she was trafficking that kid. That's a direct quote from Cindy McCain. She went on to claim that the woman was, quote, waiting for the guy who bought the child to get off an airplane. This was Cindy McCain's claim that she saw a woman with could have been a white woman with a child of color or a woman of color with a white child, which is probably more the case, knowing who Cindy McCain is. Anyway, the Phoenix Police Sergeant Armando Carbajal told a news station KTAR that police conducted a welfare check on the child and found, quote, no evidence of criminal conduct or child endangerment. McCain, who is reportedly the co-chair for Arizona Governor's Council on Human Trafficking, responded on Twitter last night apologizing. Sorry, that's how the Daily Beast is characterizing it. I don't see it as an apology. Here's what she wrote. At Phoenix Sky Harbor, I reported an incident that I thought was trafficking. I commend the police officers for their diligence. I apologize if anything else I have said on this matter distracts from, quote, if you see something, say something. This racist bitch sees probably a woman of color with a white kid and says, oh my God, it's human trafficking. Now, I should point out that Cindy McCain, the McCains, have an adopted daughter. Her name is Bridget. She's from Bangladesh. She's dark skinned. The hypocrisy, the ugliness, the hubris of this woman is unfucking believable. Now, and Vermont Gina is taking words out of my mouth in the chat room. She writes, as a white mom to an adopted child of color, that makes me wonder about how their kid was raised. This just left me speechless. And of course, I went to the thoughts of my daughter, who I adopted from Kazakhstan. Now, Allison is, I'll tell you, I tell her on every form, you check that Asian box. Now, if you looked at her, your thought would be, wow, she's just gorgeous. Number one, she's very exotic looking. The question I get all the time is, from people who don't know me, what's her father? Who's, you know, because she's so exotic looking. And then I have to explain I adopted her as a single mother from Kazakhstan. So she's Asian and probably Russian. I mean, she's, but I tell her always check that Asian box. Number one, be proud of your heritage. And number two, you're a minority. Take advantage of it. Nothing wrong with that. And I bring that up, aside from the outrage and the disgust that I felt seeing this story about Cindy McCain. God, what a piece of shit. And part of me wanted to turn on The View to hear Meghan McCain tie herself in knots trying to defend her racist mother. But I was too busy going back to sleep or something. I don't know. Because of this, I also have to bring up what's going on with Elizabeth Warren. She is being scapegoated. She is being vilified by Donald Trump and the right. And if you're, you know, dissing her because she dared to say that she has Native American heritage, then fuck you. All right. When Elizabeth Warren's book came out a few years ago, hold on, I got to bring it up on the Kindle. Hold on. I have it open to the page. She told the story of her background. And I remember reading this. I don't know if this is the only place in the book where this is mentioned, but this is what stuck with me after reading this book. Long before Donald Trump started calling her Pocahontas, I read this. Let me read a little passage for you from Elizabeth Warren's book. And sorry, I can't recall the name of it. And I'm not good enough on the Kindle to go back and figure out the name of it. I just got it queued up to the right page here. She writes, "My family stories set the direction of my life long before I was born. In the 1920s, my daddy had big dreams. He wanted to fly airplanes. I grew up hearing about how he was barely out of high school when he rebuilt a little two-passenger open cockpit airplane and taught himself to fly above the prairies of eastern Oklahoma. I always pictured him landing and taking off in vast wheat fields, a tiny plane in an immense blue sky. But there was something he loved even more than an airplane. He loved my mother. She was 15 when he noticed her. A whisper-thin, dark-haired beauty who was lively and funny and whose beautiful low voice made her a favorite to sing at weddings and funerals. She would sit for hours in an empty room and play the piano and sing. My daddy fell completely in love with her. His parents bitterly opposed the match because my mother's family was part Native American, and that was a big dividing line in those days. But that didn't stop my parents. They eloped in 1932 when mother was 19 and daddy had just turned 20. And it goes on from there. It is part of her family's lore. It is part of her family story. She grew up hearing the story of her parents' love. They met when they were 15 and 16. And against his family's wishes, they went off and eloped because her family was part Native American. What is wrong with that? That is the story of America. Now, did she handle Donald Trump's smears of her wrong? Probably. But you know what? Even I thought, you know what? Just get a DNA test. They're everywhere. You see the 23andMe or Ancestry.com, the commercials for all these different DNAs. Get a DNA test. I watch the Henry Louis Gates thing on PBS all the time, Finding Your Roots. You can find out if indeed your family descended from Native Americans. And by God, it came back that yes, somebody in her family tree was Native American. So the family stories are true. And yet Donald Trump goes on this attack, calls her Pocahontas, which is just offensive on every front. He does it even when he's supposedly honoring Native American elders in the Oval Office. He jokes about some people call her Pocahontas. No, some people don't. You do, you fucking piece of shit. Anyway, you know, she's apologized over and over and over again. And she did it again.
About tribal citizenship and tribal sovereignty and for harm caused. I am also sorry for not being more mindful of this decades ago. Tribes and only tribes determine tribal citizenship. I had a good conversation with Chief Baker. He was very gracious. And we continue to talk about issues and continue to work on issues that matter deeply to Indian country and continue to work on things that we both care a lot about.
So, Senator, why did you list yourself as an American Indian on this Texas bar?
Because that's your family story!
This was about 30 years ago. And I am not a tribal citizen. Tribes and only tribes determine citizenship. When I was growing up in Oklahoma, I learned about my family the same way most people do. My brothers and I learned from our mom and our dad and our brothers and our sisters, and those were our family stories. But that said, There really is an important distinction of tribal citizenship. I am not a member of a tribe. And I have apologized for not being more sensitive to that distinction. It's an important distinction.
Okay, so she's admitting there's an important distinction there. She apologized ad nauseum for not being more sensitive to that distinction. But again, when she was a child, her parents married in the 30s. These were the stories that she grew up with. This was her family story that's been passed down. You expect her just to disown it? I'd say be proud of it. I don't know enough about my family history. I wish I knew more. So, you know, again, this is character assassination, Donald Trump style. And all of you so-called Democrats who are dissing Elizabeth Warren for the Native American thing, get over it. Stop doing the Republicans' job for them. Elizabeth Warren would make a damn fine president. This is the one thing that people are on her about. Ooh, she made a mistake. Big fucking deal. You want to tell me you never made a mistake? And again, I don't think she did. Now, granted, the rules of the tribe are different. And she's admitted to that distinction. And she never said she was a member of any tribe. She said she has Native American roots, which she does. Get the fuck over it. I'm so sick. Al Franken, you may agree or disagree that he should have left office. I think the accusations against him were tenuous at best. But the lynch mob, and I chose that term carefully, piled on, led by Kirsten Gillibrand, and he resigned. Probably the right thing to do, but it sucks because Al Franken was a damn good senator. Yet on the right, you got Donald Trump leading the pack of a bunch of immoral assholes who've done just unthinkable things to women, to people of color, who've said neo-Nazis and Klan members are good people on both sides. And yet none of them, when faced with the extreme positions they've done or things that they've done or things that they've said or actions that they've taken, none of them leave office. They just deny culpability. I didn't do that. And they stay there. We got Donald Trump and on down. It's one thing to take the moral high ground, and I'm glad that the Democrats do. But there comes a point when you got to say enough is enough already and hold those people on the right to account. As for what's going on in Virginia, shame on all those people. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what the answer is. And we'll be talking about this clusterfuck with Howie Klein when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. All I know is, you know, Virginia got lots of shit on their shoes these days. Musical reference, Rolling Stones, in case you missed it. I played a little clip yesterday of the song and, of course, got copyright violated on YouTube. So I won't do that again. Anyway, just my two cents. Leave Elizabeth Warren alone. She's one of the best candidates we've got. Between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, the attacks are coming on them really strong because they're the most progressive of the bunch who have announced they're running. So, again, if we keep this shit up, we're going to lose. And I'm lumping myself in with the Democrats because right now, yes, I'm registered as a Democrat so I can vote in the primaries. Because primaries are important. It's when you hear all the candidates out, you don't come in with preconceived notions. Now, there are some you'll like better than others, but you know, the sniping and the ugliness and the bad mouthing, Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, don't do Donald Trump's job for him. I hate to say it, he's effective enough on his own. God, no, Bernie hasn't announced yet. And I don't know if he will. And again, as I've said over and over again, I don't know that if he announces that I'll support him in 2020. I don't know yet. I want to hear them all out. I want to see the debates. I want primary season to progress. That's what it's all about. All I know is we got to get Trump the fuck out of office or we're not going to survive. All right, Howie Klein joins us in a few minutes. Let's get to the news, because there's a lot of news.
I read the news today, oh
boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, the Democrats, who now control the House of Representatives, are reacting to that threat that the president delivered during the State of the Union address. You know, this.
An economic miracle is taking place in the United States. Yeah. And the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations.
God. And he thought that was going to be like a bumper sticker or something. The chairs of the three most powerful House committees, Adam Schiff of Intelligence, Elijah Cummings of Oversight and Government Reform, and Gerald Nadler of the Judiciary Committee, all weighed in.
Well, I want to address the president's remarks last night, his effort to discourage any meaningful oversight of the administration. That's a non-starter. We are not going to be intimidated or threatened by the president.
We are doing what is demanded by our Constitution. That is to be a check and balance on the executive branch. As a matter of fact, we're sworn to do that, and we're going to do that.
To say that we can't do that is to say we shouldn't do our constitutional duty. Mm-hmm. It's to assert an executive preeminence that one would think he might want to be a dictator. He cannot escape, nor should any president escape congressional oversight.
No, that's what it's about. It's oversight. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff announced that in addition to reopening the committee's Russia investigation, they're initiating a sweeping new look into Trump's finances. Brian Williams has the details.
Schiff laid out five key areas of inquiry. These are big and broad. One, the Russian government's ongoing efforts to influence the U.S. political process. Two, any links or coordination between Russia and Trump world. Three, whether any foreign actor holds financial or other leverage over the president or has sought to compromise him. Four, whether the president or anyone in his orbit has been vulnerable to foreign pressure or tried to shape U.S. policy in service of foreign interests. And five, whether any actors, foreign or domestic, have tried to influence investigations into these matters, including those in the Congress.
Oh, yeah. Of course, when asked about the new investigation, Trump did what he does best. He lied, claiming he's never heard of Schiff. What the fuck? And then he went on the attack.
He has no basis to do that. He's just a political hack who's trying to build a name for himself. And I think that's fine because that's what they do. But there would be no reason to do that. No other politician has to go through that. It's called presidential harassment.
No, it's not. It's actually called congressional oversight and the American system of checks and balances. Just saying. The House was busy yesterday with new hearings, two on climate change, the first in 8 years, and in the Judiciary Committee, a contentious hearing on gun violence and a new background checks bill in which Florida Republican Matt Gaetz, I don't know how to say his name, tried to argue that violence caused by undocumented immigrants, or as he called them, illegals, is worse than gun violence from homegrown, I'll call them terrorists. And then he attempted to have the fathers of two kids killed in the Parkland massacre last February ejected. Here's the CNN report on what happened.
Tension at a congressional hearing on preventing gun violence. Republican Matt Gaetz of Florida using the hearing to actively campaign for the president's border wall. This was a hearing about gun violence. This did not go over well with some in attendance.
H.R. 8 would not have stopped many of the circumstances I raised, but a wall, a barrier on the southern border may have, and that's what we're fighting for.
Oh, my God.
We have an immigration system that allows people to come here violently. We engage in...
There will be no comments or demonstrations, please.
Okay.
It's his comments angering the fathers of two victims of the Parkland school massacre, Manuel Oliver and Fred Gutenberg.
At one point, Rhode Island Democrat David Cicilline posed this question.
Is there any committee rule that prevents a member of Congress from reciting
false statements in a committee hearing that are unsupported by the evidence?
Good question.
That are unsupported by the evidence, or are members of Congress entitled to just make things up?
The House Judiciary Committee has been hearing testimony on a bipartisan measure that would require background checks for all gun sales and most gun transfers.
In case you were wondering, yes, Gates did try to get Manuel Oliver thrown out of the hearing.
Is there a process in the committee whereby if the very same people are repeatedly interrupting the time of the members, that those people will be asked to depart the committee? Or is there...
I will.
Okay, what a piece of shit. Just so you heard, I wanted to make sure you heard that. Low life. By the way, with a DUI conviction, in case you were wondering. The House Oversight Committee held a hearing on H.R. 1. That's the Democratic measure that would prohibit the purging of voter rolls, compel states to adopt independent redistricting commissions, and enact a host of other changes to the electoral process. Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings laid out the issue.
1 year ago today, on my mother's dying bed at 92 years old, former sharecropper, her last words were, "Do not let them take our votes away from us." They had fought. She had fought and seen people harmed, beaten, trying to vote. Talk about inalienable rights. Voting is crucial. And I don't give a damn how you look at it. There are efforts to stop people from voting. That's not right. This is not Russia. This is the United States of America. And I will fight until the death to make sure every citizen, whether they're Green Party, whether they're Freedom Party, whether they're Democrat, whether they're Republican, whoever, has that right to vote, because it is the essence of our democracy.
He was brilliant, Elijah Cummings, speaking with passion about something really important, voting rights. Okay, in other news, the Green New Deal is here, well, in resolution form anyway. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Ed Markey today released the Green New Deal resolution, the first formal attempt by lawmakers to define the scale of legislation to create large-scale government-led investments in clean energy and infrastructure to transform the U.S. economy. That's one way to describe it. AOC said she will immediately begin to work on legislation that would fully flesh out the projects involved in the Green New Deal. But there's a slight problem with that. Nancy Pelosi is apparently not really on board. The speaker today announced her appointments for the special panel on climate change, and it conspicuously doesn't include Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The leader of the committee is Kathy Castor of Florida. The other Democratic members of the panel are Ben Ray Lujan, Suzanne Bonamici of Oregon, Julia Brownlee of California, Sean Kasten of Illinois, Jared Huffman of California, Mike Levin of California, Donald McEachin of Virginia, and Joe Neguse of Colorado. Kasten, Levin, and Neguse are freshmen. Of the Green New Deal, Nancy Pelosi said this. She's quoted today in Politico saying, quote, "It will be one of several or maybe many suggestions that we receive. The Green Dream or whatever they call it, nobody knows what it is, but they're for it, right?" Hey, Nancy, I got a little song for you. Fuck you. We'll talk Down with Tyranny. Howie Klein has a post going up shortly about that. So we'll talk about that. The other story that's breaking now, Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker is supposed to testify tomorrow before the House Judiciary Committee. Well, now he's saying he will not appear before Congress tomorrow without assurances he won't be subpoenaed, giving Democrats a deadline of 6 p.m. tonight to put that in writing. Seriously. Now, this House Judiciary Committee today approved authorizing a subpoena for Whitaker, if necessary, on a party line vote of 23-13. Gerald Nadler, the chair, says the subpoena will be used if Whitaker refuses to answer questions. Now, what questions is he afraid to answer, you ask? Marcy Wheeler at emptywheel.net has done the work, as she always does, and she's given us the questions that he's afraid to answer. One, have you briefed POTUS or his legal team on the SCO investigation? Did POTUS lash out after he showed up as individual one in Michael Cohen's plea deal? Did POTUS talk about firing people in the Southern District of New York? Did you communicate any information about Huber's review of investigations into Hillary Clinton to the White House, including POTUS? And did you communicate with the White House about the BuzzFeed article stating that Trump ordered Cohen to lie? In conclusion, in response to a tweet, another tweeter who asked her this, she agreed that he's just refusing to answer whether or not he helped Donald Trump try to obstruct justice. And one more from the Better Late Than Never department. The Department of Justice announced last night that it has finally opened an investigation into convicted sex offender and billionaire, or is that person of means, Jeffrey Epstein's sweetheart plea deal, and whether department lawyers may have committed professional misconduct during his prosecution. In case you may have forgotten, Jeffrey Epstein raped a lot of underage girls, and evidence suggests that both Donald Trump and Bill Clinton were present at some of his parties where young girls, and when I say young, I mean like 13 and 14-year-old girls, were used for sex. Just saying. Ugh. God, I need a shower now. All right. Well, you know what? Let's not wait any longer because I ran late with that. Let's get Howie Klein on the line. Got to find his open. Where is it? There it is.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out
you
now
do.
With Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
We love Thursdays around here because every Thursday we get together with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com and the Blue America Pack to talk about politics. And, oh, my God, Howie, it seems like every week it goes from worse to worser.
I don't even know what Trump, or are you talking about Pelosi?
All of it. So all the excitement today about the Green New Deal. I just got your email with your 1 o'clock post. So it goes up at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern at DownWithTyranny.com about the Green New Deal, the resolution which was introduced this morning by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the House side and Ed Markey on the Senate side. And Nancy Pelosi dissed it. Dissed it in a number of ways. One, by announcing who she's appointing to her special select panel on climate change, conspicuously. Who she's not appointing, right? And then then her comment on it, quote, it will be one of several or maybe many suggestions that we receive, the green dream or whatever they call it. Nobody knows what it is, but they're for it, right? What?
Oh, and that drove me insane. I mean, the post that's coming up at 1 o'clock, exactly when you and I say goodbye, that part of the part at the end about Pelosi with the big giant headline, that wasn't part of the that I wrote once Nancy went on to this thing of saying, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's what made me write.
Oh, my God. Now, I give AOC a lot of credit because she's learned the political ways. She said, it is a green dream, choosing to ignore the diss part of it.
Yeah.
I'm just speechless. So who are these people that Pelosi put on the committee?
Well, first, the good news.
Yeah.
So we have one, possibly two great ones.
Okay.
So the great one is Joe Neguse from Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
He's the Democrat who took over when Jared Polis became governor. So Jared Polis had that Boulder seat. He was leaving it to become governor of the state. And Jared was a progressive as well, although he was also a progressive on certain things.
Right.
Which was weird, but he was definitely a fiscal conservative, and he was in the New Dems as well as the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
Huh.
He was, I think, the first one who was in both.
Okay.
Now there are lots who are in both.
Yeah.
But in any case, Jared was okay, but not perfect. Joe, the new guy, is really, really good, especially when it comes to climate. He's people talk about the Fab Four. If
uh-huh.
it was the Fab Five, he would be the fifth one.
Okay.
So it's, Rita Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez
huh.
and Ilhan Omar
right.
and Ayasa Presley.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the Fab Four.
Right.
And then Joe would be the fifth.
Nice.
He's with them on all the stuff that they're all together on. He's together with them, too, especially the Green New Deal. He was one of the original guys who jumped on with Alexandria on that. And he's been really good on everything. As soon as this Medicare for All, the new Medicare for All bill came out from Rashida. No, it wasn't Rashida. It was from, Pramila Jayapal.
Yes.
As soon as that came on, he signed on immediately as a co-sponsor. So he's really good. All of his instincts are great. You can't – I have another post. Pardon me for plugging future post that
Please
no one
do.
Can read till they
That's
come
fine.
Out. But it's coming out later today, I believe, or it's coming out soon. And in that one, I talk about how you can't really be 100% sure about these freshmen yet because there haven't been enough votes. So almost all of the freshmen, all have A's from Progressive Punch.
Uh-huh.
So, and their scores are perfect. They voted right on every single thing. Okay, good. And that's almost all of them. But not all of them. There are a handful, and that's what the post is about, of course, of Democrats who already have Fs. I mean, we've barely even started, and they've already defined themselves as basically the people who are going to be problematic. And the worst of all is
– I'm sorry.
When I talked about all during the campaign season, Jeff Van Drew from
yes.
New Jersey.
Oh, God.
But there are a bunch of them like that who are already in the F category. The reason I got off on that tangent was because Joe is one of the A's.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good.
As is all the ones that we like, almost all the ones we like.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So yeah. So Joe is on the committee. He was the great one that she appointed. And then Mike Levin, and Mike know as well. So far, every move he's made has been really good.
Good. Okay.
Really good. I mean, as good as anyone else. Certainly the best of anyone who was elected from California. So he's in that district that sort of straddles Orange County and San Diego County. It's in both of the counties, the very southern part of Orange County and the very northern part of San Diego County. And we had that horrible, what's his name there? Why can't I remember his name? He was the richest man in Congress.
Oh, God. Daryl Issa.
Yes, that was Issa's old district.
Right, right.
See, I can remember that he was a car thief, but I couldn't remember his name. Anyway.
That's all right.
So he knew he was going to lose. So he just retired from Congress. And then the Republicans didn't really have much of a chance. But I was asking someone else for that seat in the primary. I never really got to know Mike, and I think he hates me because I said really mean things about him, and he doesn't seem to want to know me now. But he's doing a great job. He's really every vote is perfect. He's backing all the right things. He's making all the right moves, and she put him on the committee as well. So the way I look at it, those are the two good people.
Okay.
Now, to make sure that nothing gets away from her, and that she has complete control of the committee, she put she always puts one stooge who has no brain, who she programs.
Ben Ray Lujan?
Everything.
Is that Ben Ray Lujan?
Sorry?
Is that Ben Ray Lujan?
Yeah. Ray Lujan is her stooge on this committee.
Okay.
So he's, you know, he's worthless.
Yep.
And then, I mean, and most of the others are just, you know, with whichever, you know, Jared Huffman, who's from, you know, his district includes very, very pro environmental areas like Marin County and Sonoma County in California.
Yeah.
He's just at the coast. He's got that coastal Northern California district. And he's kind of, he's definitely an environmentalist kind of guy, but he's the kind of environmentalist that takes money from the electric utilities.
Mm.
You know, so he's, you know, so I don't fully trust him. You know, better him put on, but, you know, we'll see how he is on this thing. If there's going to be, you know, I expect that there will be some betrayers. I would expect he'll wind up being one of them. I hope I'm wrong, but I remember the guy who ran against him when that seat first became open was a super progressive named Norman Solomon.
Oh, sure.
And I remember Norman telling me this guy was, you know, a make-believe progressive when he was in the state legislature. You know, he had the trappings of being a progressive without actually being one. But, you know, he votes well in Congress, so, you know, I sort of don't want to attack him. And we'll see. You know, it's like a wait and see situation.
Sure.
Remind me, who else is on there? Who else did she name?
Let's see. Who else? We got Suzanne Bonamici of Oregon. Julia.
And she's, you know, she's. We'll see. She's okay. She's another one. Like Huffman.
Okay.
Could wind up being okay. So in terms of being what we needed on there, which would be people who were like super progressives.
Yeah.
She's not one of those.
No.
I mean, there's only, you know, Joe and maybe Mike. That's it in that category.
Right. And you got a couple others
who are sort of okay, and then people who are terrible.
Right.
You know, Bonamici is okay.
All right. You got Julia Brownlee from California.
It can't get worse than her.
God.
She's terrible. Blue dog. She didn't have a single ounce. If you had a, you know, if they, you know, sometimes you give awards away for you know, someone will get an award for bravery in the military or something
right,
like that.
Right.
If they had an award for cowardice, she would get one every year.
Oh my God.
She is one of the most cowardly members of Congress. She is completely worthless pile of crap. If you recall, when they kept showing how Alexandria Ocasio was flanked by two women at the State of the Union,
mm-hmm.
One was Judy Chu. And the other one was Nydia Velazquez, and yeah. None of those three got up to cheer for Trump.
Right.
They just sat there,
mm-hmm.
And they had like they sat there with pushes on. they weren't getting up, and they were not going to smile, and they were like treating Trump the way he should be treated.
That's right.
Behind the hideous Dem women,
hey, Howie,
also
Howie,
wearing all white.
How?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me call you back. We've got a weird electronic lag in our connection, and it's just I want to get a better connection. So let me just hang up and call you right back because this is getting annoying. We'll be right back with Howie Klein. Just because. Sorry, that was bad. It's probably my computer. But
Hi. Leave a message and I'll get back.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, let's try it again because it went straight to voicemail that time. All right. Let's try it now. Okay. It's ringing.
So like I was saying,
yes.
you had these three super progressives sitting there, and then and right in front of them was Joe Manchin, who couldn't wait to get off his seat and applaud for Trump. But behind Ocasio and her two friends, you find these three new Dems. And one of them was Julia Brownlee. And, you know, and she kept jumping up. I mean, what are these people? Why are they applauding this guy? And they're applauding this inane bullshit. And they should know better.
Now,
forget about who she's supporting.
Okay. Yep.
Her problem is her voting record.
Right. Okay.
Terrible new Dem. Putting her on the committee, huge mistake.
Wow. Okay. And let's see. Also on there, Sean Kasten, who's a freshman. You mentioned Jared Huffman.
Who joined the new Dems also. He ran He ran as a progressive and his number one issue. In his heart, at least, is in the environment. So I have some hopes that he'll be okay. There's at least a hope there. But he did join the New Dems, which means he in the end, you can't be any good.
Ugh. Oh, God. And you already mentioned Jared Huffman, Mike Levin, and then there's Donald McEachin of Virginia. Now, Virginia, I'm sorry. I just can't even think of Virginia these days without thinking of how fucked up things are in Virginia right now.
Well, let's talk about Virginia. I'll just say I know McEachin a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's a well-meaning guy, but he's not going to be part of any solutions to any problems.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about Virginia. Is there
yes.
any way for Virginia to pull out of this unscathed? I mean, first it's the governor with a picture and the blackface guy and the Klan member on his college or his medical school yearbook page, which first he said he was in the picture. Then the next day he said, no, he wasn't in the picture. He's got to go. Then the lieutenant governor, who looked great on paper, we find out there's a sexual assault allegation against him from a pretty credible woman who came forth yesterday and issued a statement. The third in line is the attorney general, who tried to get ahead of it yesterday. Herring is his name, issuing a statement that he put on blackface for a party in 1980 to dress up as Curtis Blow, his favorite rapper of the time. And then the fourth in line is a guy named Kirk Cox. Who's this?
No. You missed the fourth. Okay, tell me about Kirk, and then we'll go to the next one.
He's the Republican State House Speaker.
Well, you know who you didn't you know who you didn't put in there?
Who?
The majority leader of the state Senate, also the who's also a Republican.
Okay.
They find out he's the editor of these yearbooks, with all, and he did the same thing.
And the pictures
the one that's putting in all
are
those
numerous.
Pictures.
Are numerous. I didn't realize he was in the line of succession. I just thought he was the head Republican guy in the state. Oh my God. Virginia.
So, unfortunately, this whole thing is what it's really about is rat fucking.
Yes.
And it's working for Republicans.
Yes, it is.
It was their idea to do this thing. And what it turns out is it's not really a Ralph Northam problem,
mm-hmm.
the governor. It's not really a Democratic problem. This is a problem of white males of a certain age in the state of Virginia. And that, you know, it's not coming out till tomorrow morning, but I have a post going up that I've spent almost the whole morning working on. And, you know, one of the pictures I used, well, it starts off with, I can't believe I'm talking about future posts. I know how annoying that is. But it starts off with a movie of Jesus Christ talking about casting the first stone.
Okay.
It moves eventually to Virginia is for Lovers. You remember that
old marketing
campaign?
Of course.
Yes.
Yep.
And then it's, you know, what Virginia is, then it's about Virginia's racist history.
Yeah.
And where slavery started.
Yeah.
Where racism flourished. And that's exactly where that little area that was the heartland of slavery in Virginia. Yeah. That's where Northam's family is from,
oh,
where they owned slaves.
Oh, God.
And he grew up that way. He grew up in that family. He doesn't seem, you know, I don't love this guy. He's a conservative Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I never was for him. I didn't back him when he ran for anything. You know, I didn't back Perriello either, but you know, I to me it was like, ugh, you know, horrible candidates running. This is Virginia. This
mm-hmm.
is what they're like. You don't get good Virginia Democrats usually, occasionally on a very local level. But generally speaking, you get crap
right.
in the Democratic Party in Virginia. Northam nearly changed to the Republican Party. He was literally minutes away from switching to be a Republican. And then, you know, something happened. It's a long story. We don't have to go into it. And he wound up, by chance, staying as a Democrat after he had been elected to the Senate as a Democrat. He decided to change to become a Republican. And then he got angry because it got leaked, and he was pissed off that it got leaked, and he said, you know, the hell with you. And then he made a deal with the Democrats in the state Senate basically to be more conservative and not to try to push any progressive things, in which case he would stay. Why was that important to the Democrats to agree to that? Because if he would have flipped to be a Republican, the whole Senate would have flipped. It was only, they only held on by one vote. And at that time, there was a Republican you know, lieutenant governor. So the the power of in the Senate to organize committees and to organize the agenda would have flipped to the Republicans. So sure. The Democrats would agree to anything to keep him. And they did. They agreed to, you know, basically be a conservative body and not bring up anything progressive. Wow. So, like I said, I have no love for Northam. However, I recognize what this was right from the beginning, a Republican attempt to go into their rat-fucking,
yep.
And they were very, very successful at it. You think they care about these kinds of things?
Nope.
You think they, I mean, blackface, the whole party would wear blackface.
They don't care.
They could get away with it.
Right. And, so, and this came out on some Republican website, the first, the Northam thing, who also broke the story about Fairfax. So, you know, yes.
All planned, all of it planned and very, very well executed from their perspective. The part that they didn't plan that's coming back to bite them now is two of the top Republicans in the state are now in the same toilet. So the point of my story and the point that I want, the reason I wanted to discuss this with you was because I really am seeing this now, not so much as a problem where, you know, Northam's got to go. I'm not
right.
Seeing it that way anymore. I'm seeing it as this is an opportunity for Northam, after what he's done, to make this state confront itself, to make all of these white men who are, you know, that age,
yep.
old, you know, the white men, to look inside themselves and see what the hell they're doing and why it came to this and why they've been this way and how they have to get out of it and what they have to do to get out of it. I mean, he says he's not going to resign. At least we should get something out of this whole horrible, ugly episode. And he could wind up being a truly transformative politician.
I hope you're right.
He's my post.
Here's the thing. Well, good. And at this point, I'm kind of with you. Obviously, it's reprehensible behavior. It would be nice if he showed some contrition the way Mark Herring did in his statement, which people are now saying, oh, he came out in front of it and he's getting ahead of it and he struck the right tone. Okay.
Herring is actually a progressive, by the way.
Is he? Okay. Well, you know, good. Then maybe get rid of Fairfax and Northam and put Herring in there because he struck the right tone. I just find the hypocrisy so stunning. And I know that I sound like a broken record because I say that all the time. But on the right, you look at people who've done equally or more despicable things from Donald Trump on down. And all they do is say, I didn't do it. I'm not guilty. I'm staying here. And they stay. And Democrats leave. And
right.
And
this, you know, obviously you're getting right to Al Franken.
Yep, I am.
I mean, even though it wasn't
earlier.
The same thing,
yep.
In a way it is the same thing.
That's right.
I mean, one is about race and one is about, you know, inappropriate behavior towards women. You know, I mean, I wish there was a way to make women feel that they will be supported by coming right out. And, you know, I mean, I've always said, you know, if a man does this to you, get a nice iron frying pan and clobber
right.
him over the head with it.
Kick him in the
balls.
But
also coming out and going to the police or going to the, you know, if a politician would dare to try to, you know, do something inappropriate,
yep.
especially physically inappropriate towards a woman, or if not physically, if a man, if you're working for a man and he tries some kind of bullshit like that, even if it doesn't get to the physical, that's illegal.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I understand why women are reticent to come out, but, you know, to come out with this stuff 15 or 20 years later, it's problematic.
It is problematic. And that's, look, it's Dr. Vanessa Tyson, her account seemed very credible, but really it took this for her to come forward. How many years ago was it? It was 1984 or something. I mean, why didn't she come forward then? If it was a sexual attack, then she should have reported it immediately.
Right, but there are, you know, there are reasons why women don't come out immediately. For there are, you know, was she working for him or there was some relationship?
No,
I can't remember it.
They were allegedly at the Democratic convention, and they met and they were flirting and she voluntarily went up to his room and they kissed voluntarily, and according to her, he then forced her head down to go down on him. I'm sorry. If that happened to me, I'd run out of the room and call 911.
Right. But also, you have to, we all have to understand that there are systemic pressures on women not to do that. So it becomes harder to do it. But how about a month later?
Yeah.
How about 6 months later?
Yep.
How about a year later? How about not a decade later?
Or more, or 2 decades later. I mean, it's suspect. And maybe I don't know what the answer is. That's the horrible thing. If this was indeed sexual assault, yeah, he shouldn't be governor of Virginia. He shouldn't be lieutenant governor of Virginia. But again, is this open season on men? I'm going back and thinking, all right, have I had any? I don't know. The whole thing is just so disturbing. And as you said, it's rat fucking. I question her motives for coming forward now. I really do.
And it's really a matter of, is it open season on Democratic men?
Yeah.
Because you could say this about Republican men all day and all night. It doesn't matter. No one cares.
They don't care. They don't care.
But
Donald
if you say
Trump.
About a Democratic man, then it's a different kind of a problem because Democratic men are supposed to do what Al Franken did.
Yeah,
and now everyone, both men and women, are angry at Kirsten Gillibrand, not for bringing it up, but for manipulating it and using it for her own opportunism and for her own benefit to try to get a big national name. I mean, she's more of a villain in that situation than anybody.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, this is exactly what the Republicans want, is this kind of internecine warfare inside the Democratic Party over this stuff, while voters look at it and say, what the hell is wrong with these people?
Exactly, because we have a conscience on the left, because we really are against sexual assault. Meanwhile, they're defending Donald Trump and ignoring the fact that at least a dozen women have come forward to accuse him of sexual assault.
And the ones who haven't come forward have been hundreds of thousands of dollars with traceable checks.
Yep. Yeah, it was 2004 when this at the 2004 convention. I don't know what I said. Regardless, I mean, that was a long time ago. It doesn't discount the seriousness of it. It's under questionable circumstances. Why now?
Right. So, and it, for us, it becomes important to think about, to not just react. All of us react with revulsion.
Yes.
To something like this. I mean, when we saw that that horrible picture in Northern's book, I'm sure, I mean, all of us, everyone listening to your show, was probably sickened by it.
Yep.
But then you have to, like, just stop for a second and think for a second. What is, you know, where did this come from? Why is it there? What is it up for? Who's going to benefit from it and why? And did the people who put it out, are they there? I mean, who do we have as the president? Mr. Divide and Conquer.
Exactly.
No one could, you know, make better use of this than Donald Trump. And, you know, I was watching a TV show, and the guests were one African-American man. I don't remember any of the people's names. It was one African-American man and two African-American women. And the guy said, you know, something like what I said. About this could be a moment where we could get something important out of Northam. I'm looking for something much more than he was, but he was thinking in terms of, you know, maybe one thing that would help poor black people in Virginia that Northam wouldn't have gotten behind, but because of this, let's get that out of him. Let's get all behind this one big thing and make him go for that.
Right.
And the two women flipped out.
Oh.
And to such an extent that he had to withdraw his idea.
Wow. Yeah, this
for
is...
not having it.
Right.
They wanted his head on a pike.
Yeah.
That was it. And there was nothing that Northam could do that was going to make them okay with him staying on for 1 minute more.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, we don't have that power over him.
Nope.
He's not going to resign.
Let's
go back to what this guy said. Let's get something out of him.
Okay, works for
me. And I don't mean something small. I mean something big. I mean, what I'm talking about is something a little bit different of making the whole state, all of the white men in the state of Virginia start to, you know, really think about what this means and who are they and what have they done and why did they do it and why is it wrong and why is it important to make sure that their sons and grandsons don't do it.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe show they've learned from time and experience the difference.
And maybe learn, actually
learn. Oh, boy. Howie Klein. All right. We'll look forward to these posts up at downwithtyranny.com. I will post links on my blog at NicoleSandler.com. As always, Howie, thank you so much. We'll talk next week. All right.
Thanks for the psycho session.
My pleasure. Thanks, Howie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And bye to you. Tomorrow, Professor Harvey J.K. returns to the program. I'm late, so we're going to go. See you tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye.